You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Welcome to Title Town Sound.
Babel? Who's Babel? Oh, Bobble! That's me. Present. I'm here. Sorry, my secretary didn't write that down right.
I don't think I'd know Spencer Havener if I tripped over it.
You're the worst. You're the worst ever.
Jeremy, you love my sense of humor, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite ever.
I think Jermichael Finley could be back next year, Jeremy.
Do you?
I also think O'Marius Hines could be back next year.
I hate you so much. I hate you.
We chuck it down the field, we run fast, and we score touchdowns. I have nothing more to add. That's it.
Welcome to Title Town Sound once again, episode 53, the Spencer Havener edition. Is it Havener or Havener?
Havener, and I think your numbers are broken.
I stand by my statement that I wouldn't know Spencer Havener if I tripped over him.
This is episode what? 53. Spencer Havener did not wear 53 unless he started as a linebacker and switched to tight end later. So I think your numbers are broken.
My list said Spencer Havener wore 53.
Then he must have started as a linebacker, and I didn't notice. Which, I mean, can you blame me for not noticing that Spencer Havener started as a linebacker? I knew that he played linebacker before he was a tight end. I just feel like he was always a tight end for the Packers. And maybe I'm wrong, so there you go.
The show has come to a screeching halt, and we yet. Truly, this is going to be a great show.
We already broke it. It's Bobo's fault.
Did he wear 41?
He was 41. Yeah.
Eventually, but I am looking at, let's see, Packers.com 53, Spencer Havener, linebacker, UCLA 2008.
Okay, so was he 53 in college? Okay, let's stop. We're done with the number because it doesn't actually matter, which we say at the beginning of the show, it means literally nothing. So, continue on.
And you can tell it's true because we've been debating it at this long.
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't matter. That makes sense.
Good stuff.
Anyways, again, welcome to Title Town Sound, and congratulations for staying with us through, you know, this part of the show.
I'd like to thank our one remaining listener.
Thank you so much. Jay.
Yes,
Jay is the only one.
I would like to thank my mom for listening to the show.
Oh, so we have two then, because I know Jay's listening to the show, and your mom is listening, so that's good.
Fantastic, and they're not the same person as far as we know.
I hope.
Yes. On today's show, we're going to be looking ahead to a doozy of a game against the St. Louis Rams. We are taking your Twitter questions, and Chris is going to share his recipe for steak a la mode. Tasty. But first things first, let's get into the meat of the show, the game that was the Packers against the San Francisco 49ers. And let's talk Clay Matthews first, because that man scares me. And my gosh, he was scaring everybody this past week. And Chris, I'll throw it to you first because you scare me more than Jeremy, so it seems appropriate I throw it to you first. Clay Matthews and just his all-around awesomeness.
Well, I think Clay Matthews has got a lot of criticism in the past. I think a lot of it kind of warranted as he's the big name on the defense. We all know that. And, you know, he's the guy with the big paycheck. So everyone's looked at him to be a leader, and I don't think he has been. I think this year we're finally seeing that leader, Clay Matthews. I wrote about this on Title Town Sound Off, and you can catch my article today with multiple Janet Jackson references. But I think he's finally playing nasty, and I think it's important that we kind of recognize the way he's playing. He's a different Clay Matthews this year, not only is he all over the field, both position-wise and the way he's playing, but he's finishing tackles. He's getting to quarterbacks. He's playing a little mean, and I think you need an attitude on the defense. If you guys remember back to, I think it was 2013 when there were some issues with this defense. They were called soft. People just said it. They weren't good enough. They weren't a strong enough defense. They lacked leadership. After Charles Woodson left, there was like a leadership vacuum. Everyone expected Clay Matthews to fill that vacuum. And I mean, Julius Peppers has been almost more of a leader than he has. But finally this year, I feel like Matthews has really kind of taken hold and taken that leadership spot with the way he's played. And you can see the team around him really reacting, at least I think so.
Yeah, Clay is, he's just a guy that won't be denied this year. And, you know, he's known as a high motor guy. That's something that he's always been known as. But it seems like this year, he's really turned it on. There was a play in the game. He didn't actually get the sack, but he pressured Colin Kaepernick, got a hold of him. Kaepernick breaks the tackle. Matthews is on the ground for like 2 seconds, and he's up after him already. Like, he would not be denied. He was going after it. Kaepernick threw the ball to his tight end, McDonald. McDonald actually dropped the football, so it ended up being a positive play. But that was just one play of the game where over and over Clay Matthews was in Kaepernick's face. He was hitting Kaepernick. He's a man that will not be denied this season, and you can tell it's consistent from inside linebacker to outside linebacker. He can't be blocked. He's got one interception on the year. He's just been a guy who's completely on fire and can't be stopped, which the defense has needed. And when you watch the rest of the defense, you kind of notice they're starting to play with a little bit of that swagger. They need a leader on the defense who's going to do that, and then the rest of the guys will follow suit. And that's what we're starting to see with this Packers defense.
I think one thing that's really notable is that his switch, at least partial switch to inside linebacker, has very likely in the...
Well, we lost Chris. He was here for a second, and now he's gone.
Lost quarterback pressures. What's that?
We lost you in the middle of your thought, so the podcast is going really well.
It is. So far, so good. But I think he may have cost himself money, but with the change to inside linebacker, at least temporarily, because he's going to have lower numbers. Whenever his contract comes up again, you know, that last bite of the apple, if he gets one, this really could cost him real dollars. But he's not complaining. He's not bitching. It would be really easy for him to kind of play, you know, in a mood and not be happy with the switch. And he may not be, but he's sure playing like he is. I think he's kind of realizing that this is making him a more complete football player. And the way he's been playing, it really, there's no sign of a Jimmy Graham-like complaint that they're not using him right in the scheme.
Right, like Roddy White. He's not Roddy Whiting the situation. If you didn't see this week, Roddy White was complaining about the fact that he has to block and he's not getting the football thrown to him. And his football team is winning. Like, what a complete tool. Yeah, I've only heard Clay mention once that he'd rather be on the outside. And that was like the first few, within the first few weeks of him playing inside linebacker, somebody asked him and he said, well, yeah, I'd prefer to be outside, but if they need me inside, I'll play there. And he hasn't said a word since because it's what the team needs. I don't think it will cost him anything because I feel like he's showing with his versatility that he's such a value to the defense, that he's such a value to the football team. They have to pay him. They know that at inside linebacker, his numbers will look different. They understand that. So I feel like they'll pay him accordingly just based on the production that he gets at both positions. He gets appropriate production as an inside linebacker and appropriate production as an outside linebacker, and I think he'll be paid for that.
All right. Seems like winning should solve everything, right? I mean, regardless of your role on the team, as long as you're winning, you should be happy. Maybe that's just me.
Winning helps, that's for sure.
Winning does help, unless your name's Roddy White and you're a complete toolbox.
Yep.
Just saying.
let's keep talking about the Packers defense, because they look terrific against the Niners again. Colin Kaepernick looked very much the opposite. He looked like the defense was all over him anyway, but he looked bad even when they weren't all over him. And I don't know, man. It's just Kaepernick, just did he get replaced by an alien who doesn't know how to play football, or was he really this bad the whole time? They just made him look good somehow. I mean, what the heck was going on there? And Chris, I'll throw it to you first again.
I think Harbaugh going to Michigan is what happened to him. Harbaugh really bought in to Colin Kaepernick and was kind of committed, I think, to really making it work. Tom Sula just, it's not his guy necessarily. He's not getting the attention, the same kind of, I don't know, he's not getting the same kind of coaching. Harbaugh was really a motivator, and not that, that Kaepernick's not motivated, but I'll tell you, he's not what he was, and I think coaching is a big part of that. Because you've got when I say special, I mean a different type of quarterback in Kaepernick that you've got to be able to work with. And that means, I think, kind of dialing it back a little bit. And you have to make him a bit of a pocket passer and encourage him to use his legs to escape when he needs to. Look at Russell Wilson, what he's kind of morphed into. He's not a rushing quarterback anymore. He's a quarterback that uses his legs to extend plays, and he's always keeping his eyes downfield. That's what Kaepernick is not doing. The Niners have said this year that they're going to turn Kaepernick loose, and I think that's the exact opposite of what you want to do. You need to mold him into an NFL quarterback, and he's got skills. He's got the ability. First of all, his legs can take him a lot of places, but he wasn't a bad passer in years past. And all of a sudden, the lack of Harbaugh being there for him really exposes it. And plus, you know, you don't exactly have the strongest team. That defense did support them in a lot of ways. When they can get off the field that quickly, you give the offense opportunities, so there's more room for error. All of those factors really lead to Kaepernick not being as effective.
I'll give you my list, and it's a pretty big one. The wide receiver group isn't very good anymore. And not that they were great before. Michael Crabtree is not a whole lot better than Torrey Smith, but Torrey Smith is a one-dimensional deep ball guy. Anquan Boldin is another year older. That's not helping. He's not nearly as fast as he used to be, and he never was really fast in the first place. They didn't have Vernon Davis last week. That doesn't help. But I think Harbaugh just schemed to what Kaepernick needed as a quarterback. I think Kaepernick is that prototypical quarterback that you see who's got all the physical tools, but he doesn't have the mental tools, so he can't do what he needs to do when a coach really relies on him to run the offense. I think you're also experiencing what it looks like when a coaching staff is stubborn with the way they coach football. The problem is a lot of coaches, they want their players to adjust to the way they coach and not the other way around. When you have a big group of players, which you always do, you're one coach, you're a big group with a big group of players, you're the new guy, and you force everyone to learn your terminology, your language, and how you run your offense, which is pretty standard, but you're not adjusting your offense quite as much towards what they can do. It really hurts the players, especially when you have a guy like Kaepernick, who I don't think really has the smarts to play the position. So it's pretty overwhelming that you get a brand new coach and he's forcing everyone to learn his way of football, which you can't really fault him. He wants his guys to play his brand of football. But I think the smartest coaches in the league say, you know, it's that saying, it's the players, not plays. So you need to adjust to the guys that you have. If Kaepernick can't run the offense that you're trying to run, you got to adjust and do something different. I don't think Tom Sula is doing that. And that's standard in coaching. That happens all the time. You'll see guys drop off with a new coaching staff. It's because the coaching staff doesn't adjust very well to the guys they have. And I think that is the biggest problem for Colin Kaepernick.
And if you watched Sunday, he looked defeated. He was always a pretty cocky, confident guy, and he looked like he was lost and defeated out there. And it's, you know, it's a sign of what's happened to that team. That team is you know, a shell of its former self.
Yep, absolutely. He looked a little dejected, and you can thank Clay Matthews for that. If you're getting smacked in the face all day long by Clay Matthews, by the end of the game, you probably look pretty bummed too. So the defense played nasty. It really affected Kaepernick. It made him even worse than he's been all season. He hasn't been very good this year, but he looked even worse against the Packers because that defense is on fire right now. Demarius Randle played a fantastic game, and he's been good. He's been good all season. From the first moment they put him on the field, we really haven't heard his name much, which is always a positive. And now we're starting to see him break up passes. His coverage is fantastic. The secondary has been playing really well with the pass rush that's up front. It's just this defense is playing really well right now, and they made Kaepernick look really silly.
All right, yeah, certainly I wanted to mention Nick Perry, too, a couple of sacks this past week. It's nice that we can mention his name and not be criticizing right now. So it's just great. We're seeing all these guys outside of starters that are making an impact.
Yep.
And certainly a key to the defense's success. Let's switch over to the offense. Chris, I know you wanted to mention something, an observation you've made about Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, is awesome. And if you don't know that already, welcome to the show for probably the first time you're listening. Because we talk about it every freaking week. But
everybody talks about it every week because you can't not talk about it.
Hero worship, you know, we can't help ourselves. But Chris, you said he mentioned, you know, there's something, a little bit of a difference between home and road games for Aaron.
Yeah, I think Rodgers, and this isn't the first time I've noticed it, but I really noticed it on Sunday. He's got happier feet when it comes to the road. He's bouncing around the pocket a little bit more, not as sure of himself. I felt like the last couple of games at home, he's been almost gliding through the pocket, making very sure steps, getting away from rush, getting away from pressure in the, you know, escaping the pocket or stepping up. And it's been kind of very sure, definite moves. And he was very kind of happy foot on the road, which makes sense. You know, he can kind of take cues from the crowd at home. There are ways that he can kind of sense the rush, I think, a little better at home. But I did notice, at least I thought on the road, that there was a little difference in his step.
I think the offensive line play wasn't very consistent this week. And I'm not just talking left and right tackle. The whole line played pretty inconsistently. And I think that, you know, wherever Rodgers looks, there's a little bit more pressure than he's been used to. And you're going to have happy feet when that happens. You can't step up in the pocket because there isn't one. And the interior guys are getting beat up pretty bad. Your tackles are getting whooped all day. So, I think it was a hard game. I don't know if it has a lot to do with home or away, but, I mean, maybe it does. He's always dialed in at home. He's always dialed in at home. And that's why they're on the streak that they're on. That's why he's on the zero interception streak at home right now, because I think I read today he hasn't thrown an interception at home since 2012.
Actually Gerald Ford was president.
Yeah, forever ago. Forever ago. You know,
before he was born.
He is more dialed in at home. I don't know what you credit for that. Maybe the crowd's part of it. Maybe not. I don't know. I do know the offensive line didn't play quite as well this week as they have in weeks past. Now, they'll get better. It's not like this is going to be consistent. This offensive line is built to be really good. Ted Thompson has done a fantastic job putting this line together. Even with Don Barclay at right tackle, this is a really good offensive line. It's one of the best in the league, and it doesn't matter. If Don Barclay is struggling the way that he is, that's fine. They have done plenty of things to work with that. This past week, it didn't really work out.
I think you make a good point about the interior of the line. That's where a lot of the problems were this week. Now, Barclay did not have a good game, but let's not forget how he handled some really tough speed rushers the last 2 weeks. He played relatively well. He played as well as you'd expect a backup right tackle to play. This week, he didn't play so well. But when you've got the pocket collapsing on Rodgers as well, it makes his mediocre play look even worse. Because, you know, when there's no pocket to step up in, obviously he's not going to look very strong. So I don't think Barkley is a disaster, is done. I don't think they should necessarily bench him. I think he's played adequately. And again, I'm biased. You guys know I love Don Barkley. But I think the interior of the line really didn't hold up this week. And I think we'll see it. Hopefully they'll get their game back together. But it's not the end of the world for that right tackle position. And Bulaga may be coming back this week.
No, I sent these Twitter questions to Bobo, and I don't know if he was prepared with this one, but Rusty, how do you pronounce his last name? Is it Wise or Weiss?
I don't know. Weiss.
We pronounce it differently every week, and he never corrects us.
Yeah, okay. Rusty, we would love a correction. If you could help us out, spell it phonetically on Twitter, because, you know, we know how to read. Anyways, his question was, first safety, then inside linebacker. Now the Packers ignored offensive tackle in the draft. Have the Packers ignored offensive tackle in the draft too long? No viable backup, inconsistent starters. I'm going to say no. I feel like their backups aren't that bad. Don Barclay is a solid backup in this league. And yes, he has weeks where he struggles, but he's a backup. He's going to struggle once in a while. Then he's also going to have games where he plays really well. It's not that bad. I feel like, yeah, maybe they could use maybe one more guy for depth. But how many teams in the league have seven guys that can be put on the field and play consistently?
Right.
It's tough. It
seems like everybody they draft on the offensive line was a tackle at some point in college anyway. But yeah. Depth on the offensive line is a funny thing. Look at somewhere like Philadelphia, where Don Barclay would be like the second best guy on their line right now. You know, there are some terrible offensive lines out there right now.
Seattle.
Seattle. They're awful. We're comparing this offensive line with Don Barclay to last year's, which played brilliantly, and that's kind of unfair.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about it. No, well, I don't.
You're concerned anytime that the line has, you know, struggles, but
yeah, I mean, well, I guess you're always concerned when a backup comes on the field on the offensive sure. line. That's always something you're concerned about. I'm not any more concerned than I should be. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And you know, the other part of it is they do backups with their offensive line differently. If Barclay goes down, you're going to see one of the guards go out to right tackle, and you're going to see Treader come in and either play center or guard. They'll shuffle the line around. They just do it differently. It's not like, you know, okay, if Barclay goes down, they're putting Treader at right tackle. I don't think that's happening. Treader didn't look right, like he can play tackle. And so I think they have options. I think they've got what they need, and they're okay.
I concur with your analysis, Jeremy. Very good. You get a cookie.
Ooh.
I know we wanted to talk a little bit more about the line here, and we do want to get into tweets. We actually have a number of them, and you can tweet at us any old time you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at Titletown Sound on Twitter.
All right.
And we've got one from at Doric Packers fan, I believe. It's going into dot, 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 so it's getting cut off here. But we wanted to talk about line play. We wanted to talk wide receiver depth a little bit, and this kind of combines the two. Given Adams' premature return, are you guys nervous about Bulaga returning so soon? Talking, of course, about Davante Adams and Brian Bulaga. Bulaga could be back this week. Chris, are you bothered at all about it?
No, I mean, he may be back. That's not a foregone conclusion. I don't think they're going to bring him back any earlier than they need to. And it's two different types of injuries. Davante Adams came back with a soft tissue injury, maybe a little bit too early, re-injured it. This is, you know, we're talking about a meniscus repair. There's kind of, you know, objective ways to measure if that repair is healthy and safe enough to play on. I don't think with the conservative medical staff that they have that they're going to rush Bulaga back when one more game, you know, when Barkley's been playing reasonably well with the exception of last week. And when, you know, this game isn't a division game, it's not, you know, they're 4-0, they're not going to take any risks. So if he plays, then no, I'm not concerned at all. They're not going to play him if it's, you know, this isn't a critical game that they're going to risk anything.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I genuinely, and maybe I'm a little naive, but I do trust the medical staff on this team. They are very conservative. And yes, Adams got hurt. But, I mean, how many times in the last few years have we seen guys come back too soon and get hurt? I mean, it's not like I can recall tons of times where that's happening. Davante Adams, I think, is not the norm. Okay, so don't worry too much about it. If Barclay plays this week, he's ready. And if he doesn't play this week, that's okay. He'll get another break next week on the bye. So I'm not concerned. Again, I think Don Barclay is playing respectably for a backup. I don't think he's all that terrible. I think people like to, people need to find something wrong with their football team. That's just how the world works. This sure. football team is broken and we're all going to die. No, they're not. They're fine. Everything's fine. Let's all calm down. People, you know, they like to run around like their pants are on fire. Everything's okay, everybody. We're going to make it. You know, Davante Adams, yeah, he came back too soon. He got hurt. Don Barclay, or Brian Bulaga, it's tough to say. I don't think he will. I'm not concerned about it.
I'm honestly not too concerned either, because we know Bulaga's, one of his MOs is being injured, if we're honest. So we kind of, I feel like we kind of know if he's going to be fine or not, or, you know, how soon he can go back out there and get hurt again. We hope that won't happen. Davante Adams, I guess, I feel like he's a little bit of an unknown commodity as far as injuries go, because it's his second year. We don't know how quickly he heals up or anything, so we shall see. Since we're talking injuries here, let's just go to another Twitter question. Jeff Nelson said a couple in, at JeffNC1. He said, I see more players added to injury report. James Jones, Clay Matthews, etc. Will this give Rams edge in game? Well, good use of 140 characters there, Jeff. Jeremy, I'll throw that to you first. The injury report, I think Clay Matthews at least wasn't looking too bad. I didn't see what the James Jones one was, but will that give the Rams any kind of an edge, do you think?
No, I am slightly concerned about injuries. I'm slightly concerned about the wide receiver group, mostly, you know, which actually Jeff sent in another Twitter question, which I'm sure we'll get to very shortly here. But I don't know if it gives them too much of an edge. Everybody's kind of banged up and dealing with injuries. That's how football goes. And the Packers are always next man up. It's just the way that they do it. So they have some really young, talented, and unproven guys on their team, wide receiver-wise. I'm comfortable to go in a game against the Rams and wing it with those guys. Because it's not like we're looking at an injury list with guys that are going to be out for weeks and weeks. Maybe they miss a game. Maybe it gives the Rams the edge, but it's so tough to say that the injury list isn't even that long. So it's so tough to say that that might give the Rams enough of an edge to win. I don't know. I guess I'm a non-answer. I'm not really going to give you an answer. I'm just going to say I don't know if that's really going to have an effect.
Well, I'll give you an answer. I'm going to check. Let me check the injury report one more time. Number 12's not on there. No, the Rams don't have an edge. And Vegas agrees. The Rams don't have an edge. I think they're 9.5-point underdogs at this point. You need a lot of injuries before we could turn this to the edge. I mean, sure, the Rams want as many starters as possible injured when it comes to, you know, who they have to deal with. But this team is too good to say the Rams have an edge at this point with where the injury report is, especially with the way the defense has been playing. This is not a great offense. Nick Foles is not a very dynamic quarterback. So I'm not too worried about the injuries. Of course, you want to see your starters healthy, and the wide receivers are going to be a little bit of a question mark, but it shouldn't be anything that really worries you too badly.
All right. I'm going to go on record as saying the injury report doesn't give anyone an edge. Injuries give someone an edge.
Thank you, Babbo.
Thanks,
there you
Babbo.
Go.
Yeah,
you're
thank
the
you.
Best.
Thank you, guy with the English degree.
Your Babbo, analysis is fantastic.
You're not Jason Wilde, bro.
True.
You ain't Jason Wilde. Nice.
We do have a couple more Twitter questions. Before we do that, let's kind of wrap things up with the Rams here and talk pick three. Let's get to our first game of the day. Three guys from the 49ers you would add to the Packers if you could. Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to go first on this one.
All right.
And I hope you got three guys ready.
Yeah, I think it's some of this is fairly easy. Navarro Bowman, check. Okay, it's not really that easy. This team really blows. I would take Vernon Davis. Even though he is as old as he is, that's just a guy that I'd want on my team, especially with a team that's super thin at tight end right now. The Packers could definitely use some tight end depth. And then after that, I'm trying to think of one more. I'd take Torrey Smith for that deep threat. And I know that he's very one-dimensional, but the Packers genuinely could use a deep threat right now. With the way their offense is playing, with the running game that they have, the short passing game that they have, if they add another dimension, it's just unfair. If they had a deep threat that's consistently good right now, it would be over the top. And I didn't mean that as a play on words. It just would be, like, ridiculous. So, there you go.
Right, I still think the Packers should be allowed to run an A-11 offense. Then it would really be unfair.
Oh, you love your A-11 offense, even though it makes most people scratch their heads.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. But anyway, Chris, go ahead.
I tried to come up with these before I heard Jeremy's explanation, and I did come up with Vernon Davis, old but effective. I came up with Navarro Bowman. It's an area of need, and he's the only beast left on that defense. And then I like your reasoning better, but I've already in my mind selected Carlos Hyde. So that's who I will go with. And I like strong running backs. And I think he's one, even though the Packers were able to shut him down pretty well.
All right. I have been kind of racking my brain trying to think who I would want from this team. I'm going Navarro Bowman too. That was the first guy that came to mind for me. I think I may go Carlos Hyde. Just because I think he can do something, and I think he can do a little more than we saw this past week. But, man, that team's struggling. And I'm going to go with Jarryd Hayne as the number three guy. Because I believe he's the guy who was playing rugby back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then joined the Niners. And that's cool. So
I don't disagree. All right, Bob, I'm going to put you on the spot. We haven't talked about the A-11 offense in a while, but could you please describe to the listeners very shortly and very briefly what happens with the A-11 offense?
This is the Titletown Sound Glossary portion of the podcast. The A-11 offense, as I recall, and I haven't really talked about or thought about the A-11 that much lately, but I believe you put all 11 of your offensive players in receiver eligible jerseys, and all 11 of your players are eligible to go out to receive a pass, including your offensive lineman.
So there
you go. Can only, I believe, send five people out as receivers at most. But if your center can snap the ball and then just run a quick hitch over the middle or just run a go route through the middle of the defense, it's going to be hard to game plan against that, I guess.
Yeah, Bobo, I don't think you're wrong, because Wikipedia is showing me that what you said makes sense. So there you go. That's the A11 offense.
Hang on a second. You just said what Bobo said made sense.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, you know, typically Bobo doesn't make sense, but because Wikipedia agrees, I have to say he made some sense. Because Wikipedia is always right.
Why does that page say last edited by Bobo?
We are talking about a ridiculous offense here, so in theory, I might know something about it.
Maybe. Yeah, it is. It's maybe. The reason he is right is because it is out there. It's like freaking scientists in a lab trying to design something to end the world crazy. That's why Bobo's correct about it, because he's Bobo, and he is one of those scientists. Just saying.
Indeed. All right, we do, as I mentioned before, have a couple more Twitter questions. One Jeremy referenced earlier came from Jeff Nelson, again, at JeffNC1. And that was, do you expect to see wide receiver Everett Harris play this week for Green Bay? Jeremy, you said a few weeks ago you were quite sure that Jared Everett Harris would be on the roster at some point in 2015. And indeed, he is. So do you think he will get any snaps at wide receiver or special teams or anything at all?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad someone listens when I talk. Sadly, it's Bobo that listens because, you know, you pretty much no one else does. It's really only Bobo. Anyways, yeah, I think we will see him. And the only reason we'll see him already is the fact that there's so many injuries with the wide receiver group. Randall Cobb's banged up. James Jones is banged up. No Davante Adams this week. I could definitely see maybe midway through the game, maybe we see Jared Everett Harris.
Chris?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, because of the depth at wide receiver and the injuries, I wouldn't be surprised. I think he played like one snap on a punt coverage team last week. But other than that, yeah, no, it wouldn't shock me. I don't know. He's not going to be a big part of the offense, but he very well could make an appearance.
All righty. We got a question here from at Jay Rayhor. Hi, John. How you doing? Thanks for listening. He had a question. Basically, as Dom Capers asking, what am I doing differently this year that has my defense not sucking? Jeremy, I'll throw that one to you first.
I don't know if it's anything specific that Dom Capers is doing. I think it has a lot to do with the guys on the field. From the top to the bottom of the roster, you're seeing guys make plays, especially at outside linebacker. Mike Neal has made some plays. Jaron Elliott has made some plays. Nick Perry, thank God, is finally making some plays. Dayton Jones is starting to step up. The list goes on. B.J. Raji is finally playing like B.J. Raji. You know.
So let me ask you this, Jeremy. When was the last time the Dom Capers defense was effective?
The last time it was effective? You mean other than this season?
Yeah.
The last time they had a legitimate nose tackle.
Absolutely. The last time that line could actually be effective.
2010.
The last time they won a Super Bowl, by the way. But I really think that this defense relies on that front to be effective. And damn if B.J. Raji coming back hasn't really made a big difference. And the line as a whole, they're beasts up there. And the difference can't be overstated, and I think that's a huge part of the success. And I think Dom Capers' scheme plays well to that, but until you have a strong front, you're not going to see the success.
Yeah, let's talk about B.J. Raji in depth for just a moment. 2010, fantastic. He admitted after 2010 he felt like he had arrived. His effort went downhill, so did his play. Last season, he had made a bounce back in his off-season workout, tore his bicep, came back this season, and we all thought, okay, if he continues on the path he was on last off-season, this could be good. His preseason wasn't very good. Not that it was bad, it just, he didn't look the way he did the previous preseason when he got hurt. B.J. Raji right now is playing fantastic football, and what it's doing to the offense is it's making them very one-dimensional. The running game's not working for most of the teams they're playing. The only team that's had a successful run game is the Bears. But they're still one-dimensional regardless because they can't throw the freaking football. So what's happening is The Packers defense is taking these offenses and making them one-dimensional, forcing them to rely on the passing game because they can't run the football, and it starts up front. B.J. Raji has played some freakishly good football this year, and now LaTroy Guyon's coming back in last year, or came back in last year at the end of the year. He was playing great football. Now they have two guys that they can put on the field who are getting some serious push up front. They're shutting down the run game. They're making offenses one-dimensional, and that just doesn't work. And when an offense becomes one-dimensional, your outside linebackers start to pin their ears back. And like I just said, the depth at outside linebacker has been fantastic. Why is that? Because the offenses are one-dimensional. They're pinning their ears back and getting after the quarterback. The run game gets shut down. Outside linebackers go crazy. The defense has improved. It has everything to do with that defensive line. It is playing out of its mind. From one guy to the next, Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones, B.J. Raji, they're all playing really well, and that's where it starts, and that's the big difference.
Beautiful. Oh, defensive line play is just making me so happy this season. Keep it up, guys. I got one more Twitter question here, and this delves into fantasy football. It's from at Alex Borman. In fantasy football, why do touchdowns by the other team's defense count against my defense? Chris, you want to handle that one?
I think the answer is straight up laziness. Because it's easier to add up the points that a team scores than it is to add up the points that an offense scores. So fantasy football companies and those keeping score are lazy. So that's why.
They don't really give a
crap.
Just
a guess.
My answer continues to be fantasy football is broken. That is why.
Good call. All right, before we move on to the St. Louis Rams game that's coming up this weekend, I want to talk about another topic in the NFL. We were going to talk about Greg Hardy, and then we heard Katie Nolan, from Garbage Time on Fox Sports cover that in about, let's say, 3.5 minutes, I think.
She just crushed it, yeah.
Destroyed. Yeah, she pretty well nailed it. So if you want to hear what she had to say about it, go on YouTube. Put in Katie Nolan, Greg Hardy, and it's like the first non-ad that comes up on here.
She's fantastic all the time, but on this, she was more than just funny. She was more than just clever. I mean, it should be required viewing. She kills it. She kills it. And what kills me is that they're still. I'm censoring myself. There are still a-holes out there that respond to her in a way on Twitter that's it's subhuman and it's disgusting.
Well, the worst part about it is that she is 110% right about the issue here. You know, she's totally right. The league is wrong to let this guy play, and he doesn't care. He doesn't get it, and he's a douchebag. Really, that's what it all boils down to. But she breaks it down really nicely. She pulled out a sniper rifle, set her sights on the NFL, and fired. And she's right. She's totally right. And then you get people on Twitter who respond telling her, like, acting like since she's a woman, she couldn't possibly be making good points. And the things that she's saying aren't worth listening to. Let me tell you something. Katie Nolan said more smart things in that 3-minute video than I've heard from most of the guys that cover the NFL. Okay? And it's worth watching. You have to watch it. It was pretty fantastic. It made my day.
She said more smart things in that 3.5-minute clip than I've said all week, which will surprise absolutely no one, but there you go. Instead, we'll talk about something that I feel like it's a little bit lighter discussion here. Football potentially returning to Los Angeles. Word is, I guess, the Rams and the Chargers are both teams that are potentially moving to Los Angeles sometime in the not-too-distant future. And Chris, I will pose this question to you. Los Angeles is going to have enough problems ignoring one NFL team, let alone two. So what in the heck are they thinking about here? What is the logic of bringing two teams to Los Angeles?
One of two things. First of all, the first thing is there's just more money in the market they see, or at least they think there's more money in the market. But number two, this is always a chip to use to try to get a new stadium. So even though both markets, San Diego and St. Louis have kind of poo-pooed the idea of public funding, or at least a lot of public funding for a new stadium, that's what this is all about. This is all a power play. LA will get at least one team. They may get two. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, it's hard to imagine LA as such a big market without a team. yeah, I know they haven't exactly had a lot of success in the past, but I also think the game is a little different. I think you'll get enough interest to fill one stadium. Will you fill two? I don't know. I don't know. It's so silly to make this such an extreme move to take two teams there. I don't quite get it.
The St. Louis Rams are really pushing hard to get there, but the city of St. Louis is pushing really hard to keep an NFL team. It sounds like the city of St. Louis themselves, they are trying to find a way to fund a stadium, regardless of what the Rams' commitment is. They want to keep their team. And if I was putting money on it today, I would say the two teams, if two teams were to go, it would be Oakland and San Diego, and St. Louis stays put. Maybe I'm crazy. I know the owner really, really wants out of St. Louis. But they're pushing to get a stadium, and if the league sees that, I don't know if they will allow the Rams to leave. Because if a city's willing to put up the money, if they're willing to find a way to keep their team, if they're willing to do what it takes to keep an NFL team, I don't know if they're going to rip away one team and give them another. I don't know if that's the answer. As far as LA goes, this doesn't make any sense to me. If a city loses a team, okay, you're going to have to wait a while to get another football team. If a city loses two teams, why would we give you more? Like, there aren't other cities in this country that would possibly want an NFL team. It doesn't make any sense to me to give LA another shot right now because they obviously didn't take care of the NFL when the NFL was there. Now the NFL is already going to turn around and not give them one team, but two teams. It's stupid. It's excessive. It doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe give them one and see how that works out. But two? Come on.
Indeed. It's about money, I guess. That's the bottom line. And I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Los Angeles, what can I say? You have an arena football team. Isn't that enough? Love them first.
Yeah, you have an arena football team you already don't care about. So why would you want an NFL team?
And that's owned by, you know, Gene Simmons, for crying out loud. I mean, actually, I can see why you're not following that. Okay, never mind. My argument sucked. Let's move on to the Packers' upcoming game against the St. Louis Rams, who are still in St. Louis and will still be coming from St. Louis this weekend. Offensively, Nick Foles, former Eagles quarterback, is at the helm and is not playing terrible. Todd Gurley, off of injury, actually had a big-time game against the Arizona Cardinals last week. Wide receivers featuring Tavon Austin, who's finally starting to do something, and Kenny Britt, the former Titans receiver. Jared Cook, who's generally been a pretty good tight end in the NFL, still doing his thing for the Rams. So, Chris, your thoughts on the St. Louis Rams offense at this point?
The offense doesn't really scare me, with the exception of Gurley's kind of an unknown. What a great first game, basically, but you don't know what to expect from him. You don't know if it's, you know, we obviously know he's going to be a pretty good running back, but we don't know what he's going to do really going forward. And the Packers have had some success shutting down with that nasty front. They've been able to shut down some pretty strong runners in the last 3 weeks, with the exception of Forte. The offense just doesn't frighten me that much. Nick Foles, aside from looking like Napoleon Dynamite, isn't exactly a very dynamic passer. He's kind of like a step above a game manager. So he doesn't, you know, I'm not terrified by the offense at all.
And the thing is too, Arizona's defense is not quite the same as it used to be. It used to be a defense that was really good against the run, but they don't have Darnell Dockett in his prime anymore. At nose tackle, they're lining up Rodney Gunter. Next to him, it's Frosty Rucker. Yes, his name is Frosty, which I really enjoy.
Does Rodney Gunter punt at all? I'm just curious.
Gunter the punter? Oh, yeah. Stick with that. Keep that. Anyways.
Yes.
So Arizona doesn't quite have the defense they used to. Not that they're not good. Don't get me wrong. Their defense is still really good. It's just not the same. They don't play the run as well as they used to. Todd Gurley is a bit of an unknown, too. There's really no film on him in the NFL. Now, how much that plays in, I'm not really sure, but I do know this. The Packers' defense shut down Marshawn Lynch and Jamal Charles 2 weeks in a row. Does that mean they're going to shut down every running back for the rest of the season?
Yes.
No. No, not necessarily. Maybe, I hope so. But what it does mean is that chances are Todd Gurley doesn't do what he did against Arizona. Chances are Todd Gurley, their seemingly one serious weapon on offense at the moment, isn't guaranteed to have a big game. And if they shut him down, it would be a rough day for the Rams.
If they shut him down, this is a real sign that this defense is for real. And I think they're for real already. But if they could shut down Gurley, that's when the league will take notice that this is an actual defense.
I'm trying to be patient. Like, I really want to say they're for real. I really want to own that. I'm trying to be patient with it. Too many times we've seen this defense go, like, full on crazy. They look fantastic. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they fall on their face. So I just want to wait a little while longer and see what happens.
Yeah, but I think they're still capable of having a flop of a game. But then again, every defense is.
Yeah. It's going to happen. Every defense is going to have a game where they don't play quite as well as they should. But I'd like to see the Packers play a little more consistently for a little more time before I say that this defense is really, really good. I think they have the potential to be. They're showing that they possibly could be, but I'm not quite there yet. As far as wide receivers go for the Rams, Kenny Britt, Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin's having a good year. They still have Lance Kendricks at tight end. It's not a horrible offense. If they had a quarterback that was a little further along, a little further ahead of Nick Foles, they'd probably be a little more dangerous. But Nick Foles isn't a bad quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He's okay. That's how I feel about this offense in general. It's okay. And that doesn't concern me too much.
Now, just looking at the league rankings for the Rams, actually, on NFL.com, 32nd in offense right now.
Good.
There you go.
So okay is not really the right word. Mostly, actually, horrible. So there you go.
Mostly. Although, again, Gurley did not really play substantial time until last week, so right. There is that.
There is a need for a running game, especially with a lack of wide receivers, and if Gurley gets going and he stays that way, yeah, they'll get better. They're not going to be 32nd in the league if they have a consistent run game.
All right, the St. Louis Rams defense, on the flip side, they're only ranked 16th according to the numbers I'm looking at here, but still a defense that looks pretty darn good. Robert Quinn at defensive end. Aaron Donald doing a really, really good job in the middle. James Laurinaitis, of course, son of one of the members of the Legion of Doom / Road Warriors for you pro wrestling fans. And really a very sturdy front seven with this group. Secondary, maybe a little more questionable, Chris. Think that's something we can exploit?
Yeah, I think what I would expect to see, because the front seven is so strong, is I think you're going to see a little bit of help for the O-line, even if Bulaga's back. I think you'll see some help from running backs and tight ends. And then the goal will be to get some quick passes going, open up the game a little bit, get the running game going. I don't think you're going to see a lot of passes down the field, but you will see some quick hits to get the offense moving and not let those pass rushers or the interior rushers get enough time to get to Rodgers. So, dinking and dunking, whatever you want to call it, I think they'll move the ball quickly. And I think that's the way you beat this defense and try to eventually make sure the line is getting enough protection so that you can take a shot or two, because I think the secondary is exploitable.
Yeah, and I think they'll do the things they need to slow down the pass rush. The nice thing for the Packers is they have Eddie Lacy and a really good offensive line. So it helps an awful lot to slow down a pass rush. Use a draw play, a screen play, anything you can to cause those guys to possibly delay the reaction. That's the kind of thing the Packers are going to do. It'll slow down the pass rush. We haven't really seen any deep balls thrown this year yet. They had the one to Ty Montgomery that he dropped.
Oh.
It was close. And I think we're going to see that again, and I think he's going to catch it. I think we're going to see Ty Montgomery catch on fire here pretty quick. I feel like with the injuries they have, they're going to start relying on him a little more and more. And by the end of the season, he's going to be a guy who's pretty consistent in the offense. I think he'll be more consistent in the offense by the end of the year than Devontae Adams was last year. And I feel like that's saying a lot, because I feel like Devontae Adams had a decent rookie year towards the end. But I digress. The Packers, I think, they'll do okay against this defense. I am concerned about the pass rush because, David Bakhtiari has not been a guy who's played really well against strong pass rushers. He's not a power guy. He's not really been the – and yes, he added some bulk, and so maybe he can handle it, so we'll see. But he's going up against some nasty defensive ends this week, and it's going to be an interesting football game. I think the Packers are going to be okay on offense. Maybe we'll see a little bit more of the same style football game we saw in San Francisco. Low score, a little bit sloppy, that kind of thing. But I'm okay. I feel pretty confident that the Packers are going to be able to exploit something on the defense.
All right, time to move into Fantasy Pick'em, where we pick one Packer and one Ram for the purposes of fantasy football and our own little bragging rights here. Last week, Chris, things did not go real well for you. You had Randall Cobb and Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
Did okay. Hyde, not a great game, though. It came down to Jeremy and myself, and it came down to a decimal.
Ooh.
You had Rodgers and Bolden. I had Kaepernick and Lacy, and your team beat me by 0.06 points.
Yes.
Our scoring system. So you get the honor of picking third with your second victory of the season. Chris, you get to pick first, and I can't imagine who you're going to pick first.
I think I've had him twice this year, and I've still yet to win, but I will obviously take Aaron Rodgers with the first pick.
All right. You've only finished third once, though, so you're middle of the pack. Pretty good, you know. I get to pick second, and a tough call there. As again, you know what? I'm going to go. I don't want Jeremy to have all the explosive players, so I'm going to go out on a limb, take the risk, and say Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley. Okay. So if you're taking Gurley, I have a couple options here.
You do.
You know what? I'm going to take Eddie Lacy, and then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to take Nick Foles.
You might. Chris is, I believe I just heard a sigh because he wanted two quarterbacks again.
I did.
Yeah. Oh.
Especially a quarterback that's got skills. Bo staff skills, computer hacking skills.
It's that movie.
So good.
Alrighty. Uncle Rico aside, and I couldn't pick him anyway because I took Gurley already, but I will go with Randall Cobb as my Packer. And Chris, who is your Ram going to be?
I think, much like Uncle Rico, Nick Foles can throw a football over the mountains. And when he does, Tavon Austin will be there to catch it.
Alrighty. We got a pretty good matchup this week. So we'll see how the fantasy matchup works out in relation to the real game. But time for True-False now. And nobody skunked it this week in True-False, I'm happy to say. You guys did slightly better than me, getting 3 out of 5 right. I only got 2 out of 5. But, you know, whatever.
Just to show you what experts we are on football, True-False, there are two options. You have a 50-50 chance, and I'm pretty sure 3 out of 5 is one of the best performances we've had this year.
I think so.
Pretty much.
We've been pretty terrible, much. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, you're actually winning right now with a 9-9 record in this. 9 correct.
I am winning by being statistically exactly where a monkey would be right now.
Hey, that monkey that picks stocks against Jim Cramer on Mad Money, that's a smart monkey. Anyway, Jeremy, you're only 1 behind at 8-10, just so you know
you're
that.
Just a slightly dumber monkey.
Good.
And I'm the monkey that's eating his own feces right now. I've got 5 right. So that's just not going well at all for me. But anyway, I got 5 true-false questions for us. You guys ready?
I am.
All right. True-false number 1. As a team, the Packers rush for at least 120 yards. The Rams defense is averaging 120.3 yards per game on the ground. So, Jeremy, I will pose a question to you first. True, false? As a team, the Packers rush for at least 120 yards.
Ooh, I'm going to say yes. I think the Packers, they put 18 and 88 in the backfield again this week. We're going to see some fancy stuff that way. It's coming. They started setting it up last week, and the Packers really like to set up their offense for, you know, they'll do a couple things. And then later in the season, they'll just change it up and do something else with it. We're going to see them do some crazy things with those two in the backfield. And it's something I've been waiting on since they drafted Ty Montgomery. I've wanted them both in the backfield, and it's finally happened. And yeah, it wasn't fantastic last week, but it's coming. Something is coming, and you should know that. Something is coming.
Wishbone! Wishbone!
Wishbone! So, yeah, I think, yes, 120 yards, totally doable. I think Lacy has a pretty good day, and they're going to put those two in the backfield as well. And you can't forget to mention James Starks. He's had a pretty good season as a backup. He's doing pretty well. I'm fairly confident 120 yards can happen.
All right, Chris.
I'm going to say false because I think that front seven is tough. It'll be close, and I think the Packers' running game will be effective. But I think the game plan will be kind of get away from the run a little bit.
I am going to say false as well. This could very well end up being a game where the Packers throw for 400 yards.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be a little bit of a pessimist on the running game here and go false. So true, false. Number two, the Packers defense gets at least 3 sacks in this game. The Rams have only allowed 6 sacks this season through 4 games. So Jeremy, true, false. Packers defense gets at least 3 sacks.
The Rams have only allowed 6. Okay. The Packers defense has played so well against quarterbacks who can't run. And that has a lot to do with the push that comes up the middle. And then you got the outside guys playing out of their minds. I'm going to say, you know what, 3 is a little high. I'm going to say false, but I think they get 2.
All right. Chris?
Okay, so the question was whether they get 3 or more?
Yes, Packers defense getting at least 3 sacks.
Ooh, okay. That's a good line. I will say true that they will get 3. I think they've been really impressive. I think they're going to continue that. And the Rams will be playing from behind. They're going to need some time for Foles. They're not going to get it.
All right. I am doggone it. This is a good question. Pat myself on the back
of this. If you do say so yourself.
I'm so good at these. I'm going to say false as well. I think Foles will probably feel a lot of pressure, but I think he'll be getting rid of the ball. Might be throwing interceptions, but we'll see. Which brings us to true false number 3. Nick Foles throws at least 1 interception. He has 1 interception through 4 games this season, so he has actually been pretty good about that. So, Jeremy, Nick Foles throws at least 1 interception in this game. True or false?
I'm going to say false. Nick Foles takes care of the football. He really does. He's a quarterback who's shown that he does not really throw a lot of picks. I think both quarterbacks go without throwing an interception this week, and so I'm going to say false.
I'll say true. I know Foles does do a pretty good job of protecting the football, but I think with the way the Packers D-line has been playing, and because I believe they'll get those 3 sacks, it's going to put a lot of pressure on him. He's going to make that mistake throw, and the Packers' defense is very opportunistic with that. The young D-backs have been doing a pretty good job, and I think they will intercept him at least once.
All right. I am. I hear what you're saying, Jeremy, about Nick Foles protecting the football. However, little known fact, Nick Foles, deep down in his very soul of souls, sucks at quarterbacking football.
Thank you.
So I'm going to say true. At least 1 interception.
That was some deep analysis, my friend.
I'll be shocked if Bobo is not stolen from us as an NFL insider by next week.
Hey.
ESPN.
Hey, guys, there's a reason I'm 5-13 at this game.
Because you like to disagree with me?
This monkey knows what buffet to go to. True false number 4, the Rams defense gets at least 3 sacks. They are averaging more than 4 per game right now. So, Jeremy, Rams defense gets at least 3 sacks, true or false?
You know what? I'm going to give them 2 as well. So I'm going to say false. And it could be less. If Don Barclay is playing, I think they get 2. If Bulaga's playing, I think they get 1. 2's not that bad, but it's still false. False. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to say false. They played Seattle. It's a suspect, to say the least, offensive line. They're playing at Green Bay, which, you know, Rodgers gets to hold that defensive line for just another, you know, a bit of a second with his hard count. I think you're about right with 2. They're going to get to Rodgers once or twice, but I don't think they get 3.
All right. I'm going to say true because, again, I'm 5-13, so, you know, why not? And I don't know if you guys heard this story that Jeff Fisher is walking around blowing an air horn, I think, to try to get his defense to not jump or something.
You know what I love about that story? They're using all sorts of noise and distraction to try to simulate the heart count. What I love about it is every second that they have to game plan for Rodgers' heart count is a second that they're not game planning for other things. It's another advantage.
Yeah, let's talk about how stupid that sounds for a second, okay? Aaron Rodgers' heart count doesn't sound anything like a horn, so I really don't understand the concept. First of all, second of all, you're spending your entire week walking around with a blowhorn and blowing it at your defensive line, even in meetings, so you're distracting your football team. It makes no sense in any form. It's really stupid. Thank you for being a moron.
Well said. True false number five. Todd Gurley rushes for at least 100 yards. He had 146 against Arizona, averaging 7.7 yards per carry. The pack allows 4.8 yards per carry. So the question again, Gurley rushes for at least 100 yards. True or false, Jeremy?
I'm going to say false. The Packers are playing so well against the run right now. If they can shut down Jamal Charles and Marshawn Lynch 2 weeks in a row, I don't think Gurley's going to hit 100 yards on him. Now, maybe he hits 80. Maybe he hits 90. I don't think he's getting to 100 yards.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and for another reason, too, because they're probably going to be playing from behind. It's going to be tough to rely on that running game. So, yeah, that's a false.
All right. You know what? I'm still a little intrigued with what Gurley is and might be and might become. And I like to disagree with you guys. So I'm going to say true. Why not? I got him in my fantasy thing, so I need him to do something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good call.
So there you go. Hashtag loyalty. Predictions. St. Louis Rams at the Green Bay Packers. The Rams, kind of interesting numbers looking at their scores on the season. The offenses, or I should say the team, I don't know if it's just the offense, but they have scored 24 and 34 points in their wins, only 10 points and 6 points in their losses. Their wins came against Seattle and Arizona. The losses came to Washington and Pittsburgh.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
this is one of those where I feel like we should simply be concerned because the Packers are a very good team, so the Rams are probably going to be a real pain in the neck to deal with. So, Chris, I'm going to throw it to you first. What is your prediction on the score for this game?
My prediction is the Packers win. They win handily. They cover 28-14.
Well, I guess that's me then. I'm going to say it's tough because the one thing you can say about the Rams consistently since Jeff Fisher has gotten there, they're a team that jumps up and beats good teams randomly. Like, it doesn't make any sense. They just do it. Especially in their own division. That's just, you know, they make a mess of that. Almost every year they mess somebody up. So I'm going to say the Packers win. That's not the question. The question for me is the score. I've been giving the Packers big numbers for scores the last few weeks, and it hasn't really happened the way I thought it would. They've gotten close, but not perfect. So, I desire perfection. I'm gonna say it's going to be a close game, closer than the rest of the games have been so far. I'm going to say the Packers score 21, and I'm going to put the Rams at 14.
All right. I got to be honest with you guys. By the way, quick stat I forgot to mention earlier. The Rams, since 2012, lead the league in offsides calls. They have been called offsides more than anybody in the NFL since 2012.
Holy crap.
Where the hell did you find that?
That's a good question. It was either ESPN or NFL's website.
Made it up. He just made it up.
I may have just made it up too. I don't know.
Title Town South off where the statistics are made up and the announcers don't matter.
Right on. I have to be honest. I see the Rams as a team that is still evolving right now. Certainly Gurley coming in changes up their offense. And it does concern me a little bit. I feel like this is a team to be a little bit concerned with going forward. And I was seriously thinking, you know what, maybe I would go ahead and take the Rams in this one until I remembered that in our weekly pick'em league where we pick one team to win each week, I picked St. Louis to win in week 2 and they failed me. Stupid, because really, the Rams off a win against Seattle, they're going up to play Washington. Yeah, they should win that game, right?
You should have waited. Not. You should have waited. The Rams are a team you need to see if they can do it consistently. I would not have picked them that soon.
Yeah, so, Rams, screw you guys. 21-18 Packers.
All right, 21-18, nice. Anything else, Babbo? You got anything else for us?
That's about it. Are you asking me to say my catchphrase?
No. I mean, your catchphrase comes at the end, and I got some things to say, so...
Go for it.
All right, so, my fine listeners and, well, I guess our fine listeners and readers of TitletownSoundoff.com, we are a little behind on things this week. Player to Player is coming. The breakdown is coming. It's all coming. It's on its way. Chris just put an article up about Clay Matthews and his pure nastiness that he has brought this season. So you can go read that, TitletownSoundoff.com. We've had a shuffle of writers, so it's coming. We're getting things back on track. Next week we'll be on schedule. But we have the analysis you need to get ready for game day. We're going to get that posted as soon as possible. It'll be tomorrow that stuff's going to be going up. So pay attention for that. Be at the website and, spend your whole day there. Just stare at your computer and wait, because it's coming. Babbo is going to post the true or false questions. We're looking for your prediction and your pick three on the forum. We want to know what you want. Whatever I just said, it's what I meant. Anyway, so on the forum, you can go on there. You can join the conversation. If you say something amazing, we might read it on the podcast next week, which is, fantastic since like two people listen and two people might hear your name.
If you say something absolutely dumb, there's an even better chance we'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah. Say something ridiculously stupid and we'll probably read it on the podcast because that's just how we roll. Anyways, thank you for listening to Titletown Sound, episode 53, not the Spencer Havner episode. Babbo is wrong. The Nick Perry episode, even though we don't really use current players for that, I'm just, making a change. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us, even though the podcast started off a little stupid. Babbo, do you have anything to say?
I have actually three things to say. First of all, I want to mention we are all on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we are.
That's our Babbo. Chris actually just quoted something that I said and posted it on Twitter. Fantastic. Chris's Twitter is...
TTSO_Chris.
And Jeremy's is...
TTSO_Jeremy, because I like to copy Chris.
Fantastic. The other two things, I want to, of course, remind people to pet their cat. And I also want to say I'm really looking forward to Jeremy's I'm a Man and I Was Wrong segment next week when he finds out that in 2008, Spencer Havner wore the number 53. Booyah!
That segment won't be happening because it's just another thing that you made up for the podcast. Anyways, thank you for listening. Babbo makes things up. We will bring you another podcast next week. Click at TitletownSoundoff.com. Look for the articles. They're coming. Click on the forum.
Titletown Sound. Can we talk Pack? Titletown Sound. Yes, we can.
That's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks of singing. If I were you, I would run. Babbo is going crazy. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.